everybody. We've got a new week in front of us. It's Monday. I hope you had a good weekend. I did. Got my eyes checked. And was able to, you know, just relax a little bit. Recoup from the hard day's labor at delivering from my company. Rumor is looming that UPS is thinking about striking, and all of its drivers striking due to some labor issues and stuff like that that haven't been resolved yet. I heard it's about 95% there, but there's still, I guess there's some part-time drivers issues that they're that are kind of holding things up. So I don't know. All I know is if UPS decides to go on strike, that people have to get their packages, and they're going to be coming our direction. I know that. So our coming weeks are going to be like Christmas. so that's not, I'm not really looking forward to that. That's good job security. You have to say that, but it's going to be one busy time. So I'm thankful for the weekend. Got to go to church, renew my covenants there. And it was, you know, here in Utah, they have the 24th is Pioneer Day, I believe. And so we had kind of a patriotic sacrament meeting in church today, which was nice. And one gentleman sang a beautiful song. It was really a good voice, and was just powerful. And I was just thinking to myself how lucky I was to be able to go to church, how lucky I am to be living in a country where I can worship the way that I want and experience those great feelings and those great spiritual things that help me to be the kind of person I'm going to be and want to be at 64 years of age. I'm still trying to change, still trying to be a better person each and every day of my life, and learning things and growing. So we have another week ahead of us. I'm excited about that, and a lot of challenges. And let's put our shoulders to the wheel and push along, and let's do our thing and make a difference in the world, individually and as a people. I wanted to start by saying something like this because, more and more as we see things progressing in our country, I continue to worry about the direction that our country is going, and its faith and its morals and its standards. It doesn't seem like, it seems like everything that was a standard before, a faux pas, a taboo before, is now just being normalized, and that is not a good thing. And I was thinking to myself, you know, after we've all sat through, for two years, we sat through COVID, and we allowed ourselves to be manipulated, now that we have the facts and the data, and more of the stuff is starting to come out. In fact, I just, there's a new advertisement that's coming out with a bunch of specialists and physicians, I guess, that are speaking out against having their voices silenced during the COVID and vaccine era, you know, those 2 years, and having their opinions silenced, and threatened, having their livelihoods threatened, right down to having their license taken away from them because they dared to question or to give optional kinds of therapy for COVID. If it didn't fall in line with CDC, you were shut down on social media everywhere. You were just like, you were the plague if you cited any other kind of studies or anything like that, or suggested any kind of other therapy that might reduce the risk, lessen the effects of COVID-19. And they're starting to, they're now this advertisement. I haven't seen it yet. I just read about it. So I'm kind of like looking forward to it. I'm hoping it comes across social media somewhere or I see it somewhere. But it made me start to think a little bit more about our country and about where we are in this country. January 6th, in the quote unquote insurrection, where you had, you know, a couple hundred people go into the Capitol and, the big insurrection, the big, plight on a democracy, or democracy was going to fall, all the stuff that you want, that the left wants you to believe, that we are such a frail company after 200 and some years, we are going to fall because of 200 ding dongs decide that they want to, walk through and break down, doors of the Capitol. Like I said, I don't support it. It's illegal, number one. So, if they are, if they've done something seriously wrong, then they need to be, charges need to be brought against them and prosecuted. And if they're guilty, then they need to be found guilty and serve a sentence or fine or whatever. That's the way our laws work. I don't agree with the way our justice system works today, and that it's a two-tiered system. If you're, if you're of a certain level or of a certain genealogy or a certain name, that you are above the law and you can do anything that you want, and other people can't. And I know this Babbitt, or not Babbitt, what's his name? Epps guy. I know that he was in, when this January 6th took place, he was in the forefront, and I saw the video. I've seen the video multiple times, but I saw it this week. And, he's basically encouraging people to go up to the Capitol. That's where it all started. That's where the battle needs to be run. Let's go to the Capitol. And I guess that was like January 5th. And anyway, Mr. Epps has never been investigated, to my knowledge, never been investigated. Whenever the FBI or the DOJ is questioned about Epps and who he is, there's a no comment that's involved. That's an ongoing and an ongoing response that the House or the Senate, when they hold these hearings, that they don't know anything about this guy. And, but he hasn't been charged for what he's done. Some of these people were in jail for months and months and months and months waiting their trial because of this hideous thing where they just happened to be at a rally at the same time that, 200 people or 250 people decided that they wanted to go a little bit further and go into the Capitol, try to change the voting and the counting of it and the verification of it, which they didn't. I mean, a couple hours later, they were back and certified everything, and we moved on within a couple of hours. So it didn't really kind of do anything to our democracy or anything else like that. But the more and more I think about this stuff, the more and more I think about what our country was based on. Our country was based on basically a revolution to we wanted the rights and privileges of individuals. We wanted not to be subject to a king, and we wanted to be an independent nation, and hence we have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States as a result of this desire. And all of the battles, all of the war of words that have taken place in the development of that Constitution, of our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, are all because we had people that were willing to stand up for rights and for the individual. That the government should be of the people and for the people, not an entity that is all powerful that we give power to as a people, and yet the government oversteps its bounds and takes that power and uses it to subject us to particular actions, particular points of views, thoughts and ideas and actions. And actually, you know, look at today. We have our government, and it's our government, right, up to the highest levels of the executive branch, our Congress, who are spouting the ideas that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and that men can change their identity, their gender, simply because they desire to do so. And how it's affecting our schools, how it's affecting women's sports, how it's affecting just about every aspect, our corporations, how it's affecting our free speech. I mean, literally, I think it was last week, the governor of Michigan signed into law that it is now a federal crime to use, to not use the correct pronouns of an individual, that if you're found guilty, that you could fine of what was it, $10,000, and it's a federal crime. Federal crime. There's like, well, how many pronouns are there that people? There's like what, like 9,000 pronouns that people can choose to, and then those are made up as they go along. So how in the hell are you ever supposed to know what a person's pronouns are? I don't look at an individual and wonder what their pronouns are. I look at them and like a normal person, I look at them and the thought doesn't even arise that they're male or female. They just look one way or the other. And usually I'll call them by whatever their appearance is. Okay. And, sometimes that's harder because you have these men who are dressing like women, who have long hair, but they have all the attributes of a man. So it's kind of hard. So it's kind of like you're walking on, you know, hot stones here in order to be able to, so you don't know it. So you try to use their, like, if you know their name or something like that, you try to use their name, you use the wrong name because now they're using a woman's name instead of a girl and some kind of variation of the male name that they have normally. So it's a hot mess to sit there and try to figure all this stuff out. And then plus you got like 9,000 pronouns that you could choose from, and that person could change tomorrow. He might not like that pronoun or she might not like that pronoun today. And we've seen that in the media. We've seen that in Hollywood. We've seen that over and over again where everybody's pronouns are changing. Michigan, how can you sit there and make a law that is founded on a lie and a falsehood? I just don't understand it. And how are you going to, how in the world are you going to make sure that people follow this law? How are you going to do that? You have no idea how you're going to do that. It's such a vague principle, and it's such a vague law. How are you going to do it? How are you going to determine whether somebody's being, you know, outright just mean versus somebody who has just made an innocent mistake about something or don't even care about somebody's pronouns? Of course, if you don't care about somebody's pronouns, then you are basically a bigot and a homophobe and, you know, a transphobic person or non-binary, not friendly person or something like that, because you don't care about these issues that, what, 1.5-2% of the population, you know, act like they really care about. Nobody cares. Nobody cares, but now it's federalized. Now, the point I wanted to make today is when are we going to wake up as a nation, as a people? Okay? These groups represent a small, very, very small portion of the whole makeup of our country, 365 million people. When is it that we are going to stop being scared of these 1.5-2% people? When are we going to sit there and wake up and say none of this makes sense? I'm a common sense kind of guy. I really am. When things don't seem to be, you know, going along as that, I can look at it and say, well, you know, that makes sense. When I can't, and I look at it and I read it, and it just keeps getting more and more confusing and more just opposite of what I have been raised with all my life, and the common sense that kind of gets into my blood, that's in my blood and in my DNA. And I say to myself, this doesn't make sense. It's just, there's no common sense behind this. There's none. There's no common sense that says that a boy can change their gender to be a girl, and then all of a sudden I have to pretend that he's a girl or vice versa. Only in today's society, I swear, you know, it's like we go from one thing to the other. It's like one extreme to the other. Any of these, I don't care what it is, climate change, it's evolved over the years, and when it doesn't suit a particular need of something, it just changes, but it continues on, but it just changes. And, you know, like now, right now we have climate change, which you really can't argue with the fact because, yes, climate changes. It's like Black Lives Matter. They choose an acronym and a title for their company, their title for their movement, Black Lives Matter. Well, how in the hell are you supposed to argue that black lives don't matter or matter? You think about it for a minute. They're made, those things are made, and it's through the period of time and pros and cons and failures and achievements and stuff that they come up with these names that you just cannot argue with, just innately in the name of their movement or whatever it is. Okay? And it's and then what we find out is as these movements continue to go on and predictions are made and the actual behavior of these groups and their leaders start to come forward, we understand what kind of people they are. The common sense part of it starts coming through, and you say, oh, climate warming, whatever, you know, Earth's warming and everything, climate change, I get it now, okay? It's going to be a perpetual thing that it's just going to rotate from one thing to the next, and it's going to be a fear tactic that they want you to fear so they can raise money, so these people can continue to be financed to continue these studies that don't mean anything, that aren't ever going to change anything. Yeah, we're going to spend billions and probably on a worldwide nature, trillions of dollars on things that will never, ever make a difference to our society and to our world and where we live. Black Lives Matter, we found out now that what the movement was supposed to be a George Floyd, movement and black, for black people and things like that. Hey, I support black people, but this organization turned out to be what? Nothing but a money grab. Just a Ponzi scheme is all it was, for people to get rich, to go out and buy houses so they can live in white neighborhoods. That's all it was. That's all it was. And I think we're going to find out the same thing about transgenderism. I think we will. We'll find out, and just like we found out about COVID, the misinformation that was so prevalent during this time, and the disinformation wasn't coming from doctors and people that were knowledgeable and had years and years and decades of experience. It wasn't that. It was misinformation and disinformation that was given to us by our government, by our own CDC, and by the leaders of our country. And they used that against us as people. They used us to keep us in our homes, to keep us from our families, to keep us from seeing grandma and grandpa in the hospital, or to seeing a family member and having a wife or a husband die without being able to see your loved one. They've used it to keep us out of churches, to be able to worship and to be able to associate with people who believe the same things that we believe, the same standards, the same principles. They did it to keep our kids out of school, to deprive them of the natural educational process of being around other kids, seeing teachers, watching teachers talk, watching behavior and things like that, which is so critical in our education. And we've lost 2 or 3 years simply because government has gotten so big. Government is now to the point where it's powerful that it can tell us what to do and what to say and what to think. We know now, because of time, right, that it's just not a conspiracy theory, that the law enforcement of the United States government has been used in social media, Twitter and others, okay, to keep opposing ideas off the platforms. In fact, we've got the government. In fact, a ruling with the United States Supreme Court, or not the Fed, but it was the federal court, just found that the Biden administration had been working and threatening, basically threatening social media platforms to deplatform or deplatform, not deplatform, but also take off their platforms, opposing ideas and things like that. And they found, and the federal judge found that to be unconstitutional, and ordered that the Biden administration, they weren't allowed to do that because it was unconstitutional for them to do that. It's called free speech. And when the federal government is actually exercising the power over the private sector, you can't do that. That's the First Amendment. That's the federal government trying to push an ideology that they shouldn't be pushing. And I got to thinking, like, when are we as a people going to wake up? And when are we going to be like the people that the founders of our country? When are we going to be that kind of person? When are we going to be that kind of citizens? Okay, when do we have a right to stand up against tyranny and injustice? We see it every day now. We say if you have a certain name, come from a certain gene pool, or you're a certain race or minority or something like that, that you are treated differently. If you have a certain name, you're treated differently. And when are we going to wake up? When are we going to say enough is enough? Now, listen, this isn't anti-democracy. Okay, this isn't anti-republic. This isn't anti-constitution. Let me read something to you that you might be aware of if you've read it. I have multiple times. But this is the Declaration of Independence, okay? Let me just read this for you, just real quick. And I want you to think to yourself, when are we going to change? When are we going to take these ideas that these founding fathers and take them seriously, okay? The second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. It means you don't assume your power. You're not, you're given that power by the governed, okay, by men, among men, institute of men. We institute these things. We give you power by electing you. Your power is derived from me. Okay. It is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new governments, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety, their happiness, and their prudence. Let me just go down here a little bit more. And then on the the fourth or fifth paragraph, it says this, and this is what really stands out to me. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same objective evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And then they go on and list out basically points about the king and what he had done in that to basically to kind of prove their point. But not only is it our right, but it's our duty to throw off such governments. Now, I'm not saying we're going to rush the Capitol and the White House, okay? But when are we as a people going to understand what rights we have in the Bill of Rights and in the Constitution? I know we have people that are trying to tear down the Constitution, okay? questioning the Supreme Court. You know, the Supreme Court this last couple, 2 or 3 weeks have come back with some divisive rulings against the President of the United States and his promising to forgive, you know, what, $500 million in debt from student loans, which he has no authority to do. Free speech on two cases, okay? Affirmative action, which is just nothing but racism. It's always been racism. It'll always be racism. And if you're going to fight racism, then get rid of racism. Make people successful. Make them succeed or fail based on their own merits. That's what you need to do, okay? And they don't like the ruling. So what do they do? They attack the institution. They attack the actual justices and call them Joe Biden said, this is not a normal Supreme Court. Well, Joe, I disagree with you. This is probably the most normal Supreme Court that we've had in probably decades. People are actually taking the law and the Constitution, applying the law to your misbehavior, okay? What you did with the loans was unconstitutional. It was against the law. You know it. Everybody around you knows it. All of Congress knows it. All of Senate knows it. And you know what? 365 million people, well, maybe take off those who own, who wanted you to forgive their loans, who are just praying to God that their loans would be forgiven and somebody else is going to have to take care of them. Okay, everybody knows that that was against the law, except for, maybe you, because you disagree with them. And then you're going to try to what? Appeal it? You're going to try to appeal freedom of speech? You're going to go to court and appeal cases that are freedom of speech in this country? Really? Where's your power derived from, Joe? It's derived from me, from 365 million people, from the people that voted, okay? Yes, you were put into office. Yes, you were voted into office, but you were given a sacred duty, and you're not fulfilling that duty. So as a people, we have a right to stand up and say, we've had enough of this. We need to change it. What I'm asking is, when is that going to be? When are we going to wake up and say to ourselves, let's be strong, let's be disciplined like our forefathers. Let's be disciplined like those people that had served and gave their lives and everything to this country in the military. Why can't we do that? And when is it going to start? When are we going to say we've had enough? Common sense is common sense. Science is science. Either you believe in the science, which is what Dr. Fauci talked about when it came to COVID and the vaccine, that he is the science. But when it comes to transgenderism and science, we don't believe it. It's feelings that's more important. But we believe in science when it comes to whatever we want to force people to do. Common sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to, I would imagine, to many, many, many people. So if it doesn't make sense, and you feel angst, and you feel like you're left out, and you continue to feel that way, and you continue to feel threatened, is that what the kind of life that you want to live in the United States of America? You have to stand for something. You have to stand for right and wrong, okay? There's no gray area in this thing. There's no gray area here. You have to fight that which needs to be fought. Okay, you fight the fights that are worth fighting. Listen, I mean, I love this country. I love it. I love the Constitution. We have gone through so much in this country over the last couple hundred years. We've learned a lot. We've made a lot of mistakes, but that's what makes us great. It's what makes us a great people. That's why many people, hundreds of thousands, of people want to come here and live in the United States, to become citizens of the United States because of what we have. We have something special here. And we can't allow people to take that away from us, because if we don't wake up, if we don't open our eyes and we take the gunk out of our ears and we don't start listening, we're going to lose it. It's going to be taken away from you. Your rights and privileges are going to be taken away from you that are inalienable. They're given to you by God, not by Joe Biden, not by Donald Trump, not by the government, not by Congress, not by the Senate, not by the judiciary, not by your state and local governments, not by your governor, not by your mayor. They're given to you by God. They are yours. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can't say that that's happening today. Now, I don't want to sound like a doomsday guy. I believe in this country. I believe in the greatness of this country, the people that are here. And I believe in the principles and the standards that I think most people try to follow. You just got to stop accepting this stupid ideologies. Fight off these new religions that have no basis of truth, no basis of facts. Have an opinion, have an idea, have a thought. Express those thoughts. I've said this before in my church. We are told that we are a peculiar people. That means to be odd and strange and different, and to take pride in the fact that you're a peculiar person because you live by certain principles and you live by certain standards. You know, we're youth, we're taught to live the law of chastity and not to have sex before we get married. Live the word of wisdom, pay our tithing, go to church, dress modestly and things like that. And I remember as a youth, 90% of my friends were outside the church. And they would ask questions all the time, or they'd mock me and make fun of me because they didn't understand really what they were saying. They were just trying to be funny. They were mocking me because I was peculiar, because I was different. I wasn't perfect, but I was peculiar and different and odd, because I didn't fall in line with going out and getting drunk and throwing up all over the place and peeing all over everybody. Okay, I didn't go out and knock up my girlfriend and have sex with my girlfriend. I was peculiar, and people noticed it. And some people noticed it to the point where they would ask me and ask me, what is it that makes you different? And I go, my church, my faith, and the standards that I believe in at 16 years of age, 17 years of age, even younger. That's what I was taught. And that's what I knew was true. That if I follow these things and I follow these principles and I didn't cave into what the world wanted me to do, that I would be blessed in my life as a result of it. And I have been. I cannot deny that there are blessings that have come from living those principles. So much so that I've shared those principles with my children. And as my dad said, and I've said this before, You teach your children good principles and you let them govern themselves. You have to let them govern themselves because they have their agency, their free agency to choose and do whatever they want to do. But if you teach them correct principles from the very beginning, you teach them correct standards, okay, and you're an example of those things, then they're the opportunity and the chance that they will follow those things are much greater. This is important stuff. This is important, eternal kind of principles that we are forgetting. They're eternal principles. Not just for one generation, just not for one administration for 4 years or 8 years. These are eternal principles that have been around since the foundations of this world. And they are not going to change. They will always be the same. Truth is truth, facts are facts, science is science. and their eternal truths. So, my thought to you, I want to leave with you today, when are you going to stand up? When are you going to say, enough is enough? We're starting to see signs of that, which is exciting to see. I'm excited to see these women in sports fighting back. People are having a voice. We're winning some of these battles in courts where I think it needs to be taken. But we're having these social wins that we need to have. But we need to all participate in this. We need to fight this with every fiber of our being. We need to address this. And you address it with truth. You address it with facts. You don't, you get away from all the emotion. You get away from, like I said, you get away from all the emotion, the anger and everything. Be angry inside. Let it move you to do things according to the law, according to that which you have control over. But do it. Don't shun away from it. Hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Share this episode with your friends. I hope you are. Give me 5 stars on whatever podcast platform you use. I appreciate it. Share it with your friends. And I look forward to talking to you again here in a couple days. Have a good week. Be safe out there. Stand for something. Be peculiar. Be a different person. Stand for your rights and your privileges and who you are. Okay? I'll talk to you later. Have a good week.